Thanks again for tuning in for Cincinnati Edition. I'm Mark Purcell. In the front row with Betsy Ross this morning is sports psychologist Dr. Gio Valiente.
If you're like me, you may be one of these golfers who hates the game of golf until you hit one great shot, and then you love the game of golf for a while. And most people who play the golf, at least on a weekend casual basis, have this love-hate relationship with the game. And we have one expert who says that we need to keep falling in love with the game if we want to succeed. He is the author of a new book called Golf Flow. He is Dr. Gio Valiente. He is a sports psychologist and helps us to get our game together. Dr. Valiente, thank you so much for being with us on the front row.
Well, thank you for having me, Betsy.
You look at the names that are listed and you talk about in this book, Matt Kuchar, Justin Rose, Appleby, Viegas, Sean O'Hare. I mean, there are a lot of prominent names, prominent PGA Tour players with whom you have worked. Why do you think it's important that a sports psychologist takes the time to work on a golf game that we think is more, you know, mechanics and your head down and your shoulders in a certain way? Why do you think it's important for a sports psychologist to get involved?
Well, that's exactly the reason why, Betsy. You couldn't have teed me up any better than that, in all honesty. We are in a historical anomaly right now in the game of golf, and that anomaly is people are in love with the golf swing. In other words, there are two different games being played in America right now on golf courses. One of them is golf swing, and the other is actually the game of golf. And that's what I teach my golfers to do, is how to clear their mind, get out of the technical aspect of the game, and play golf. And the results have been, you know, pretty good. 50 professional wins in the last 15 years by untangling people's minds with all these technical thoughts and teaching them some key principles that, you know, allow them to get the best out of their games.
And Matt Kuchar, I mentioned his name, and he's one of these players who 10, 15 years ago, he was white hot on the tour and then all of a sudden disappeared. Now he is coming back on the tour, winning again. He's much more prominent on the Saturday and Sunday coverage. What was the difference in his game in that time in between that we maybe didn't see him up on the leaderboard so often?
Right. Well, there's a couple of things. You know, Matt came out on tour. He won in 2002, the Honda Classic, and then, you're right, lost his PGA Tour privileges for a couple of years. One of the key principles that I teach about in this book is what to do with failure in golf. You know, and Matt is a perfect example. What happens is every golfer hits a bad shot. That's inherent to the game. Whether you're Nick Faldo or Justin Rose or Matt Kuchar or you or me, you're going to hit bad shots. Now, what happens is the next 5 seconds is really important because a lot of golfers lose their temper. And they get angry. And if you look at Matt Kuchar, he does not get angry. He basically smiles his way around the golf course. That is actually by design. And here's why. You hit a bad golf shot and you throw a temper tantrum or you feel embarrassed or any of these negative, toxic emotions, your physiology changes. Your body starts creating cortisol and norepinephrine and all these stress hormones that make you grip the club tighter. Your muscles get tighter throughout your body. It shortens your golf swing. And all of a sudden, you go into a downward spiral. So one of the things I've taught my golfers to do is if you hit a bad shot, you simply accept it. You don't react. And that's a hard thing to sell to competitive people because most competitive people, when they make a mistake, get angry or they want to beat themselves up or they want to just react in a negative way. Well, my golfers don't do that. Even though they hit a bad shot, they respond graciously with acceptance. They stay free, and they're actually able to play better long term.
The name of the book is Golf Flow. As I mentioned, we're talking with the author of that book, Dr. Gio Valiente. And what is the golf flow? What does the title of the book really mean?
So there's been a body of research in psychology about what are called flow states. And flow states are, you know, most commonly referred to as being in the zone. What happens is you go through this transformation where time slows down, the hole looks bigger, you know, the fairway looks wider. You're just in this great state of rhythm and flow where you're not overthinking anything, and you're your absolute best. So what I've done is I spent the last 10 years traveling with the PGA Tour, and whenever a golfer would shoot a great round of golf, a 59 or a 60 or a 61, I would say, excuse me, would you sit with an interview with me? And I would ask the same 15 questions to every golfer, and basically I want to know, what just happened to you? You just went out on a very hard golf course, and you made it look magical. It was easy. You were in this magical state of mind. Tell me about it. In 10 years of research, I've gathered all this information about this flow state that golfers get into and then how to get into it more regularly.
Almost like a Michael Jordan when he would talk about when he was in the zone, for example, the basket looked humongous when he was shooting at it. But that kind of confidence, you know, you mentioned that you try to teach your golfers just to, you know, accept a bad shot, go on, keep going on. How do you build that kind of confidence, and why is it so important, not just for golf, but, you know, any sport that you're playing? You have to feel good about what you're doing out there. How do you build that?
Well, there are a variety of ways. That's a really good question. In fact, I outlined many of those ways in the book. That's the purpose of the book, is to teach golfers, because like you're saying, golf is a game where it's so easy to lose confidence. So, you know, one of the things that we do is we consistently, every Monday I'll talk with my golfers, and there are certain exercises that we go through. I have a chapter in the book which talks about, you know, how to visualize, you know, all your good shots, you know, after a round of golf or after a week, how to specifically, you know, build that confidence through visualizing your good shots, how not to fertilize the memories of the bad shots. You know, when we lose confidence, how to actually play through those periods of time. So, for example, when a golfer loses confidence, they tend to get more risky. In other words, they think, oh, man, I'm playing bad. I need a great shot here. And so they'll try to force a shot into a bad spot, and then all of a sudden they hit it in the bunker, they hit it in the lake, and things get worse. Well, I teach my golfers how to paradigm shift. Instead of ball striking, we focus on ball placement. So when we're playing badly for a few holes, my golfers actually get more conservative rather than more aggressive. And that's one strategy we use to get through those hard times, protect our score, and then all of a sudden when we start hitting it good again, you know, we're ready to capitalize.
I rattled off some of the names of the PGA Tour players that you have worked with. Of the PGA Tour and LPGA Tour players that you have worked with, is there one characteristic in common that separates them from perhaps the player who does not make the cut, who is not on the leaderboard? Is there one thing that really separates that group from just the middle of the road pros?
You know, there really is, and it's going to sound a little bit maybe counterintuitive, but it's love. What I mean is this: the golfers who are really in the top tier, even out on the PGA Tour, have an intrinsic motivation. In other words, they're motivated by love of the game. They love to play golf. They love to learn about golf. They love to practice. Even on days when they don't score well, they're happy. They just love the game. The other type of golfer, it's called an ego golfer, all they care about are results, scores. And if they score badly, well, they're in a bad mood. And if they don't, you know, perform well, well, then they're just grouchy. So it's the difference between being intrinsically and extrinsically motivated. And the best golfers in the world, even the best of the best, you know, Tiger Woods went through a slump, but he never stopped working hard. Camilo Bajegas works hard on his game, not because he has to, but because he loves it.
The book is called Golf Flow, Master Your Mind, Master the Course, by Dr. Gio Valiente. In 2011, named by Golf Magazine one of the 40 most influential figures in golf under the age of 40. Golf flow, a state of mind. You got to love the game. Dr. Valiente, thank you so much for being with us on the Front Row.
Thank you, Betsy.